Hey there. We at Blue Wire just wanted to take a second to thank you for listening to this podcast. We know everything outside is pretty scary and uncertain, but we're committed to helping you get through your day by talking about the sports and teams that you love most. If you're looking for more great podcasts to distract you, check out BlueWirePods.com. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the podcast and stay safe.
We are excited to know where we're going to be playing and excited to have a city that is excited about having us.
Once you're a Raider, you're always a Raider, no matter what city.
We are now the Las Vegas Raiders.
What's up, everybody? It's time for another episode of the Vegas Nation podcast. We are presented to you on the Blue Wire Network by Favor, drinkafavor.com. I'm your host, Heidi Fang, joined with Adam Hill, Vinny Bonsignor, and Ed Graney today. We're going to get into all of the things that you want to know about the Raiders 2020 schedule. We had that release yesterday around 4:30 p.m. on local time here in Las Vegas, and it's pretty exciting stuff. So we're going to break that down. But first, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast wherever you are listening. Download the Vegas Nation app, follow us on social media at Vegas Nation, and make sure to head over to VegasNation.com to check out everything that we're doing. And weekly now, we are doing a show here on Cox Your View. So check out wherever you have Your View in your local markets. And here in Vegas, it is Channel 14. Those shows airing weekly, and you can find the replays of them on the web as well at VegasNation.com. So guys, let's get into it here. We know that we're opening up in Carolina and going back home to see the Raiders play the Saints Monday Night Football. Vinny, they have four primetime games. What do you think about how the first two games worked out here, with the Raiders being on the road and then coming back, though, for the big Monday Night Football spotlight?
Well, you know, honestly, what I see is that four of those first five games are going to are against playoff teams from 2019. You know, and with a defense that's, you know, probably going to have seven new starters, they got to get it together defensively in a hurry. Getting, you know, there's no doubt that they've made upgrades talent wise, but now it's a matter of being able to be a cohesive unit very, very early on against a really tough early part of the schedule. And this goes right to Derek Carr and all the offensive weapons that he has. They're going to have to score some points, a lot of points probably early on, win some shootouts early on to kind of carry the day while the defense gets it together. I think the defense will, as the season goes on, get better because their players are better. But it is tough sometimes, you know, putting so many new faces together. It's time for Derek Carr and the offense to really step it up and win the day that early part of the season, because it's a tough, tough schedule to start it off.
So we have the bye week, and then they get ready for a Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That one, I think, is kind of interesting that they get that bye week, and then they can, you know, come full steam ahead at Tom Brady. So, Adam, I remember you saying before that, you know, that we shouldn't be too worried about the Buccaneers and all. So what do you make of the chance that they have here against Tom Brady and facing them?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a lot to be worked out by then. You don't know who's going to be playing and, you know, how they're going to work out in Tampa. But I think people that look at Tampa as this automatic Super Bowl contender because Tom Brady is there, ignore the fact that Tom Brady has been very, very average the last few years. He's not a guy that's just going to walk in and just make this a Super Bowl contender. So I think that they're going to be an improved team. I think their defense, especially late in the year, was really good. They're going to be a tough team. But, again, a primetime matchup for the Raiders. We see the theme of the schedule, lots of primetime games in Las Vegas. And that means that the TV executives are very, very excited that Las Vegas is part of the landscape now, not only because they can showcase the market on television, but also because they can come visit here. And you're going to see people that aren't even part of the broadcast on a weekly basis say, oh, you know what, I got to go make sure the broadcast is okay this week. I'm going to go go out to Vegas and, you know, make sure everything's on the up and up. They're going to find excuses to travel to Vegas a lot so people can get used to this in Las Vegas for years to come.
So, Ed, it's kind of interesting here that, you know, Adam talks about the Buccaneers, and I took a poll here out on Twitter just yesterday asking the fans, like, who they were looking forward to most. And the top responses were Buccaneers, New England, and the Kansas City Chiefs. So when you look over just, I mean, what Derek Carr has done against these teams, he really hasn't won against Tom Brady when he's faced him. And when he's gone into New England, it hasn't fared well for him either, but it's typically in cold weather situations. So what do you make here of the breakdown of those top three opponents that the fans are looking forward to seeing most? I guess starting with the Raiders going into New England on Sunday, September 27th, that's week three.
Well, it won't be cold unless something weird happens. So I don't know if he's going to have to worry about that. Look, it's New England and Belichick, so they're going to be a dog there. But, you know, I think that might be in play depending on how Stidham plays early for the Patriots. It's not Brady anymore. But it's a hard place to win at. It's just a hard place to win at. But I think it's more in play than had it been in the past. I understand Kansas City at Arrowhead. That's obviously a very, very hard place to win. I'm with Adam on Tampa Bay. I wrote a little tongue-in-cheek on the Twilight Zone this morning for the paper, but I do not believe Brady will win the Super Bowl. And I'm interested in Tampa Bay. I might go under on their number. I think, you know, a lot of people are excited because it's Brady, but I want to see it be Brady not in the playoffs last year before I believe that they're going to go deep. I think of those three, you know, Kansas City would be the toughest to win, and I think obviously Tampa Bay would be in play because it's home, and New England's more in play than people would think. I think that's actually – I think that if you look at their schedule, New Orleans at home, at New England, Buffalo at home – and by the way, Buffalo is one of the better teams in that whole string – at KC, by home to Tampa – like, if you can get out of that 3-2 or 2-3 with what they have in the back end, like, you're in it for the playoffs in terms of a wild card. I think Kansas City will win the division, but the extra wild card, they just can't come out of that, like, 0-5 or 1-4. Like, they have to win a few of those, and then I think there's spots in the schedule where they'll pick up more wins and beat it. That's a really important stretch early in the year, those five games.
Yeah, and then you talk about the backstretch, Ed, and then the bottom five games, you see a couple cold weather ones there. So,
yeah.
Vinny, you know, when you think about Derek Carr and his struggles here in cold weather, what do the Raiders do knowing that they have to face the Jets, where they performed miserably last year? They're going into New York again to face the Jets in December, and then you have the Broncos game that's likely to be a cold weather situation as well as the last game on the schedule, and these are ones that are going to be very key games here for the Raiders. So what do you think Derek Carr needs to do to get over that hump of winning when it comes to being under 40 degrees?
Well, you know, I hate to, you know, just kind of you better players. You need better players. And I think that's what the Raiders have been trying to do here, is try to surround Derek Carr with better players. And especially in that Jets game, you know, it got away from them defensively too. I mean, they just got destroyed on defense by, you know, a pretty average Jets offense that just kept exploiting their linebackers in underneath coverage, you know, running wide receivers and running backs and tight ends across the field and just destroying the Raiders linebackers. So I think with a better team around Derek Carr, theoretically, his level of play should improve as well. I think the Raiders have done that. I don't think that cold weather should be any more of an excuse anymore. They've improved their defense. As the year goes on, I expect that defense to get better. And I think offensively, there's just way too many weapons for cold weather to be any sort of an excuse. Obviously, it's going to play some kind of a role, but you can't go in there and throw 40% or complete 40 or, you know, under 50% of your passes and throw three interceptions. You just play terrible. There's no more room for excuses on that. You've got a team around you that is pretty strong. It's as strong a supporting cast as Derek Carr has had ever in his Raiders or NFL career. So the excuse of playing in the cold is out the window as far as I'm concerned. There's good enough players for you to be able to perform well, whatever the conditions might be.
All right, so Adam, you look over the schedule here, and I wanted to get your take here when you talk about odds. And, you know, we've talked about this a little bit yesterday. The odds makers have the Raiders at 7.5 on the line when you look at over or under for total wins on the season. Where do you put this now that you have the schedule in your hands and you can see where they're going to have tough stretches or games that look very winnable for the Raiders? How do you put that line now when you look at that?
Yeah, I think, I mean, you're going to see the 7.5. That's what the win total is going to be for the Raiders. And, you know, you look through, I know the odds are going to be going up today. I haven't seen them posted yet, so I don't know if they're up there yet. But just kind of talking to some sportsbook directors, getting a feel for where they are. I think the Raiders will be favored in four games, and they'll be underdogs in 12 games. Basically, the sports books don't think very highly of the Raiders roster, and that doesn't mean that they can't win games. You could be favored in four games, and you can win 12 or 13. The odds don't necessarily matter. It's just a reading on where they think the team is right now. They are the biggest long shot to win the division. The Chiefs are obviously a massive favorite, with the Chargers and Broncos tied for second choice in the division. And then the Raiders are the biggest long shot. So, you know, according to, you know, Las Vegas and where we are, they have an uphill battle to try to get past that 7.5 number. If you're only favored in four games, you have to win at least four games as an underdog to make that happen. But, you know, I don't think anybody in the team is concerned about that. I don't think their fans are concerned about that. They just care what happens out on the field, and it's going to be an uphill battle. But if you look through, like, you know, when we're kids and you know, we still kind of are at heart, you get your schedule. You know, when you're playing in a sport, you get your schedule and you mark it on, you put it on the refrigerator and you start using a pen right next to it. Do we win this game? Do we lose this game? How are we going to do in, you know, on our schedule? And I think at the end of the year, we're going to be, you know, whatever, and, you know, 15-0. Like, that's what you, as a kid, you're always thinking that. But, you know, you're marking down how you think you're going to do in each game. And if you're doing that for the Raiders right now, I think it's tough to find more than five games that you're confident that you're going to win going into the season if you're the Raiders.
Okay, so we'll take a break right there. We'll come back and we'll break this down one by one and look over some of the opponents in the AFC West and where we think the Raiders might fall in that division. So stay tuned right here on the Vegas Nation podcast.
They say a healthy gut means a healthy you. Favor apple cider vinegar shots bottle this feeling into the convenience of a 2-ounce shot. Better digestion, stronger immune system, and the lowering of blood sugar levels are all just some of the benefits to shooting a daily Favor shot. Their proprietary blends are raw and organic and mixed with other functional ingredients to create a better tasting experience. First-time shooters can go to drinkafavor.com.
Welcome back to the Vegas Nation podcast. It's Heidi Fang, Ed Greeny, Vinny Bonsignor, and Adam Hill. We're breaking down the Raiders 2020 schedule. I was talking about what the outlook is for this AFC West division before we stepped away. Obviously, the Kansas City Chiefs are on top of that division as your Super Bowl winners as well. The Raiders have that to face. They also have to face a very improved, I think, Broncos team that will have Jerry Jeudy now as a weapon. And then you look down at the Chargers that could or could not have a new quarterback when we start out looking at the situation there between Tyrod Taylor and Justin Herbert, who they drafted at number six. So where do we see right now, Vinny, that the Raiders are going to probably have an advantage over, let's start with the Broncos. Where do you think that, you know, the Raiders right now, when you look at the Broncos team, have a better strengths or have, I guess, an upper hand over this team when you look at what they do on the field and how they might be able to get past them in the coming season?
No doubt. And it's kind of hard right now to go individually, you know, matchups, because, you know, so much can happen between now and the season. I think in a broader sense, and I saw this with the Rams in 2016 to 2017, they won three or four games their first year back in Los Angeles. They looked dead in the water. It looked like it was going to be decades, you know, before they could get it turned around. But lo and behold, they make some changes. They bring in a Robert Woods. They bring in a Cooper Kupp. Jared Goff, who looked like a bust, losing six games, I think it was, the year before, all of a sudden gets it turned around with a better supporting cast defensively. They made some changes. They added some pieces. And then the next thing you know, they win their division and they're in the playoffs. It can happen. There is talent on this Raiders team. They've slowly but surely been turning over the roster, I think, in a good way. And I think that this offseason has really addressed some needs for them defensively and offensively. There's no excuse for this offense not to be able to score 23, 25 points a game. It would be a massive disappointment if they didn't. That's a team that averaged 19.6 points per game last year. They have to improve. They have the talent to be able to do that. They have pieces in place to make some necessary stops in games. They're not going to dominate defensively, but they're going to be able to, on paper at least, and should be able to get the ball back into Derek Carr and the offense's hands enough times, you know, to give them a chance to win some ball games. Whether it's the Denver Broncos, whoever we want to talk about right now, the focus needs to be on the Raiders and improving by, I think, three games, and they should be able to do that. Obviously, the bookmakers are going to see things the way they see things. And, you know, nothing's happened. Nobody's gotten on the field. There's been no practices. So it's hard to tell how this is all going to come together. But, man, there's no way in my mind that this offense can't be a lot better. And I think that that's going to be able – that will be the difference – on a young defense or a defense that's coming together to have a pretty successful season. To me, there's no more excuses. There's the talent is in place for this team to make a nice little turnaround here.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's playing on top of that. I mean, I just think everyone's playing for second. So which one improved the most and which one's going to take those improvements?
Definitely.
The Broncos get Jerry Jeudy. They upgrade their defense. Is Melvin Gordon still Melvin Gordon at all? That could help them a lot. You know, how is Drew Locke now? The Chargers are really, really good defensively. Obviously, you don't know how Tyrod would play and when Herbert would play. They're really good defensively. So, and we know about the Raiders upgrade. So, you know, I mean, it's weird. I talked to Mike Pritchard, the former NFL player, this morning. He said, and he made a great point. He goes, look, if I had to say right now, I would put the Raiders at 8-8. And he goes, and here's the thing. They're going to go one way or the other. They can steal a few and finish 10-6 and absolutely make the goals, but they could easily drop two that they have no business losing and finish 6-10 or even 5-11. He said, you just don't know at this point. And look, it's a team that's made the playoffs one time in 17 years. They have to prove themselves. There's no to even guess at a number for a team that's made the playoffs one in 17 years makes absolutely no sense because they haven't done anything. And they have a quarterback who's on the hook right now. He has to perform. It's one of those play it out and see where they're going to land. I mean, I think, can you say the Chiefs are going to win 11-12 and not blink? Of course. But there's a lot. There's so few teams in the NFL. You can look at any schedule and say, well, they're going to have this many wins. Because you can lose. Adam said it the other day. You can lose any game in the NFL. So other than the Chiefs and maybe the Saints and a few others, I'll put the Cowboys in there. Can you? And I don't even know. Cowboys might only win 8 or 9. You don't know. You just got to play it out. I think you're playing for second. And it's all going to depend on which one of those three teams, take what they've done to upgrade and translate that onto the field.
And if it does go the other way, which it could, obviously.
Yeah, you never know.
As we sit here in early May, who do you think, if that were to happen, and we were to look back on the season at that point, who do you think would get blamed? Or where do you think the blame would lie if it goes sideways?
Oh, it'll go to Derek Carr, fair or not. I mean, they're not going to blame a head coach who's got a 10-year deal. And Derek Carr is the lightning rod, and he has been for a while. This is not, it's usually the quarterback. Okay. It's always the quarterback.
I'll word it a different way. If it goes sideways, who do you believe would be like the real culprit in that case? I'm not forget like who might get blamed or what the perception might be. What do you think the letdown would be if and who would be not responsible for, but who literally would not live up or play up to expectations for that to happen?
I don't know if you can say single person. I would just say defensively. I mean, I think Carr would be blamed because it's easy to blame the quarterback, whether it's fair or not. And a lot of times it's not fair. But if they're 6-10, my guess is we'll be sitting here in a podcast saying all those supposed defensive improvements didn't work out because they just gave up too many points. Because I'm with you on the fact they should score points. If they don't score points, they're really in trouble with what they've added. So I don't know if I can say one defensive player, but I would think if they're 6-10, if we're really honest about it, we'll say, again, they didn't perform defensively. And yet you and I both know people will always go to the quarterback. And by the way, if they're 6-10, he's not going to be the quarterback anymore. So, but truthfully and honestly, I think if it goes south, it'll be defensively. And we'll sit there and say all the upgrades they said they make didn't play up to their ability.
Do you think at the end of this year, Carr is going to – whatever the record might be, what we see visually on how he plays and how this offense plays, do you think that he'll be above the criticism but the responsibility?
No, I think he should be because I think they're going to score more points. I mean, between the 20s, last drift, yeah. They're just going to get in the end zone. Now you have Witten, who's a great – he's up in years, but he's always greater on the end zone. I think Henry Ruggs makes a difference, not as much as I think Henry Ruggs could catch a lot of touchdown passes, but I think he might open things up for other people. Josh Jacobs is in his second year. I just think they're going to score more, so I think that means Carr will play above expectations. But still, if they're 7-9 and 6-10, he could play above expectations and not be the quarterback the following year.
Yeah, yeah. That's the interesting thing for me, like how you know, who the fall person is going to be if it doesn't work out, you know, this year. And you know, I guess we'll see, because it's going to all bear out at some point, and we're going to be able to figure out, all right, it wasn't Derek Carr's fault, or you know, it wasn't the defense's fault. But it's going to be interesting to me to, if it goes sideways like that, you know, where the issues will have been.
Well, it'll probably be Antonio Brown's fault. So just, well, everyone
Well, Mike Mayock is putting himself out there in a position where, you know, he could certainly take some of the criticism, and I think he has done something the last couple of years that I applaud. He's gone away from groupthink, and groupthink always tells us, like, these are the guys, this is the order, these are the best available players. And I think far too often coaches fall victim to this, general managers fall victim to this, if I go by what everybody else is thinking, I'm not going to take as much criticism. I can just point to, hey, everybody felt that way. But he has kind of stepped out of that and said, hey, these are the guys I want. This is my list. I'm going to draft the best available players to me, which I think is the right thing to do, and I applaud it. But it also sets yourself up where if you are wrong, you are really taking a lot of heat and a lot of criticism. So, you know, he has done it 2 years in a row with guys that nobody thought were going in the position where the Raiders took them. And if it works out, you are a genius. And if it doesn't, people want to crucify you. So I think he's put himself in that position too, which is good. But you know, he's got to kind of answer for those decisions that have been made in the draft the last couple of years.
All right. Thank you, everybody, so much for tuning in to this episode of the Vegas Nation podcast. We'll be back next week, as usual, on Thursday with another episode breaking down things that are going on with your Raiders. Keep up with everything that we're doing here on Vegas Nation by downloading the app, subscribing to this podcast, following us on social media at Vegas Nation, and also by checking out VegasNation.com, where you'll find all the articles, great content, videos, and everything that we're producing out there for you, the Raider Nation. And also make sure to tune in to our show that we have on Cox Your View, Channel 14 in Las Vegas, and those shows again called the Vegas Nation Blitz. So check those out wherever you have Cox Your View. Thanks everyone so much for listening. For Ed Graney, Adam Hill, and Vinny Bonsignor, I'm Heidi Fang. We'll be back next week.